This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Health and Living. On the line with me, Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician. Today we're going to have our session is called Ask a Doctor. So you can actually call in and ask our doctor any question you like. And today's topic is about, of course, COVID-19. I know tons of you parents stuck at home, confined to the home with your children who are restless, who are bored. Everything's gone out the window, your routine, your discipline, studies, even your eating habits. I mean, I think as adults, our eating habits have all gone haywire. But Dr. Rajini is on the line with us to help you understand or give you some sort of coping mechanisms with the children during the MCO. We have no idea when this is going to end, but I think if you give us a call, she will be most happy to answer your question. So the number to call, 0377332900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rajini. How are you today?
Fine, thank you, Meera. I feel like I should be calling in to ask for help as well. So.
Let's not go there. Because the both of us have almost young adults at home, so we really shouldn't be. We should be working those children, really.
Yeah.
But okay, let's talk about you. I mean, are you actually going to the clinic? Are you seeing children? You deal with children with developmental issues.
Yeah.
Are parents still coming for therapy, or, you know, coming to see you for their challenges?
Well, we offer appointments to families, and not just myself, but the therapist that I work with at the hospital and the clinic less so. But of course, fewer parents are coming in. Many are anxious that, you know, they don't want to expose their kids, or many also have to still work from home, and it's, you know, sort of challenging to keep up with that and come for appointments. So I am still seeing some cases, but a lot less than before. And I'm glad about that, because I also have to manage a house. I don't have a live-in help, and my part-time help is obviously not able to come. And suddenly the house feels big with, you know, three older children who are constantly eating, being confined in a home with a bunch of young adults and teens with hormones can be stressful as well. So I'm glad I get the little few hours a day to come into work to see patients, and I get to interact with other families. And yes. So
would you say then, would you say that anxiety is what parents are struggling with most at the moment?
Yes. And I think for a lot of parents, especially if you've been out of the home working in the day, and your child has been out either in schools or intervention centers, etc., or in nurseries or babysitters, now you're at home with your child, firstly having to cope with work from home, and at the same time, you know, having to plan your day so your child doesn't get bored, difficult with their behavior, can be a major challenge. And, you know, the whole anxiety about when is this going to end? Is my job affected? Financially, how are we going to be? What's it going to be like even after the MCOs being lifted? A lot of parents have a lot of questions about, should I be sending my kids back for therapy, to their intervention centers, etc.? So I think there's anxiety about the here and now and the future as well.
And can you have those conversations with children, for an example? I think that, you know, to me, it makes sense. I mean, you can, of course, speak to the children about the situation and what, you know, what you're going through as well. Or is that really not the best advice, Dr. Rajini?
No, I think it's important. I mean, depending on the age of your child, you know, how does anxiety show itself when you're dealing with your child?
You scream and yell, that's what happens.
Exactly. When you're stressed, you know, you become short-tempered, you scream and yell. And, you know, children don't understand why you're screaming and shouting, and then they feed off your negative energy as well, and that just worsens the situation. But if you're going to talk to a five-year-old about the fact that, you know, mommy doesn't know whether you can go back to school in the future and things like that, you want to be presenting it in a way that you're going to prepare your child that, you know, they might not be able to go back to school straight away, but at the same time, giving them options about what they can do if they're not going back to school or they're not going back to see their friends. So I think it's harder for parents when you're dealing with younger children. But saying that, even with teens sometimes, you know, the frustration gets to them as well. You know, teenagers don't want to be stuck at home with their parents. They want to be out there with their friends. Thank goodness social media allows them to be to some extent. But, you know, I think it's hard across the board with children, but you do need to talk and communicate.
So we have a question from one parent who called in and had a question about exactly this. In these stressful times, she tends to lose her temper.
At this time of stress, we sometimes overreact to our child's misbehavior. And I usually apologize when I do. But is saying sorry to our children too many times a good idea?
Dr. Rajini?
I think when you've made a mistake, you should say sorry because you're modeling that to your children. But I think what's more important is modeling how you can deal with your stress. Otherwise, you know, walking away, telling your child, okay, you know what, I'm going to lose it, or mommy's getting angry, I need to step out, and physically take yourself away to calm yourself down. And I think, you know, that's important. We say to, you know, we often get angry with our kids because they say sorry for doing something and then they repeat it, right? And we don't understand why did they do that. So I think it's a good time to, if you're saying sorry too many times, that you need to take a step back as well sometimes and look and see what you can change so you avoid making that same mistake again. It's so much easier talking about it than actually acting it out. And I'm guilty of that as well. I'm not going to lie. You know, I think we're human, but we've got to try to show that we are trying to make changes as well.
I think, Dr. Rajini, I've come up with a solution for that. I've realized that as mothers, especially, I can't speak for the fathers, we tend to think that we need to take on everything at home.
Yeah.
We need to do the cleaning, we need to make sure there's food on the table, that kind of thing. And what I've decided is because, you know, I have young adults, I just tell them, these are your duties every day. Please do the laundry. When I come back, I want to make sure, please make sure it's done. Delegate is the rule of thumb. Delegate, delegate, and delegate. And don't forget your husband's at home as well. So work, everyone, because you can't do it by yourself.
Yes, and Meera, I know we did a show on chores and, you know, should we make our children do chores and things like that before, but I think this is the opportunity where you can start introducing chores to your children, even your very young children, your toddlers. You know, they've emptied all the toy boxes. This is the time that you say at the end of the day, it's clean-up time, or if, you know, after meal times, you're taking plates into the kitchen, you're wiping the tables. There's no reason why you can't train your 2-year-old after she's eaten and gotten off the chair that she can carry her own plate and bowl to the sink. She can be given a clean rag to wipe up her mess, and getting them involved in chores is so useful, and it can be something that you can do as a family. Do it, you know, family time. And to be honest, at home, there are certain chores that I delegate to my children, but there are certain chores, for example, I have a water-based Hoover that I feel that nobody knows how to use except me. So, you know, I'm a bit obsessive like that. So we say, okay, we'll clean up when I come back. So I do the hoovering and then somebody does the sweeping and somebody does the mopping. And so everybody has their role and their duty. And that's very important to delegate and reduce your stress load and your physical load as well.
Do you think this is a great time to address some of our shortcomings as parents that we did not address these things in the past?
Yes. I mean, how many of us have that luxury of having a chore time with our children every day? We don't, right? On a day-to-day basis, most of us are stuck in traffic jams. By the time we come home, we're scrambling to have meals on the table, homework completed. As mothers, you're probably thinking, oh no, I've got to get the uniforms, the laundry and things like that done. And You just want your kids to go to bed once they've done their homework. So I think this is a good time to incorporate, sharing of duties at home with your kids. And the, you know, another thing that we can also maybe work on is, you know, if you go for your weekly shop to your supermarket or the market, etc., is to sit down and with some of your older children to start talking about, okay, this is how we're spending money. This is our shopping bill for the week. So everybody knows what they're eating and how much we spend, and teaching them concepts like money as well.
Yeah, never thought of that, actually. Okay, that's a project for today. as you said, you know, sometimes you just need someone to trigger some of these thoughts. We are bracing for tough times. It is a good time to actually implement or get our children on board to understand, money and how we need to be more careful going forward. So our Dr. Rajni Saranandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, on the line with us. We are discussing how to parent in a pandemic. If you have a question, our phone lines are open. It's 0377332900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or you can just tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we've got one tweet from Terence Kumar. He says, can we just send our kids over instead to BFM? Because we tweeted this morning, if you are struggling, please call in and ask a question. And Terence says he wants to send his children over. Terence, we have a no guest policy at the moment, but when we do open up, we welcome your children on one condition, that we'll give them back. They're not staying here forever. So yes, maybe, Terence, get in touch with us after the MCO. We'll come back and find out more about kids with special needs and how parents should cope with that, coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good morning, I'm Mira Sivasodhi. It's a Health and Living segment. Dr. Rajni Saranandan on the line with us. She's not in the studio. Right? It's like almost, you know, it's in our subconscious. You're here, Dr. Rajni, whether you like it or not. Consultant developmental pediatrician on the line with me. We are discussing how to parent in a pandemic. If you have a question for us, the number to call 0377332900. You can WhatsApp 0187898899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, before we come into the how parents can help or manage working from home and childcare, managing children with special needs. We're also going to be talking up next about how you can manage as an educator. And a lot of parents are online now. I mean, classes are online. Preschools are sending out work for children to do at home. And how do you manage that as an educator? So just coming to the children with special needs first, Dr. Rajni, how do parents manage this balance of trying to work from home as well as, be with children with special needs, keeping them occupied during a time like this?
Yeah, I think of the families that have been coming for appointments, this has been something that's been very challenging for them. And I think for some of them, coming out to see me gives them a chance to actually get the kids out of the house or an excuse. But first thing I must say, I'm not sure if the message has gone out, because half the families I've seen were not aware of this, but the police have said and the MKN have said that children with special needs are allowed to go outdoors to get some exercise and, as part of their mental well-being. So I hope parents out there know this, and they've said that as long as you carry with you the child's OKU card, or you have some sort of letter or documentation for those who don't have an OKU card to say that your child has special needs, that documentation must be from a doctor. The police will not arrest you for flouting the rules, because it is legally allowed for you to do that. And I would encourage parents of children with special needs to take advantage of this, because it's much harder keeping children with special needs occupied. And you know, sometimes it can be difficult for them to understand why they have to be stuck indoors. And they need to sort of step out and exercise to be able to regulate themselves, their emotions, their stress levels as well. I think secondly is using your day-to-day routines. Now, we talked about getting, our children who are typically developing to do chores. There's no reason why you can't involve your child with special needs in activities of daily living. And this is a good time for you to train your children to be a little bit more independent rather than always doing things for your children. It does take time. So, you know, if you're still having to work from home during working hours, then you want to say maybe work on the feeding when you have a little bit more time at night and adjust your schedule so that maybe you wake up a little bit earlier, the child wakes up a little bit earlier, so you can maybe work on breakfast as well and morning dressing skills. So I think, you know, take this as an opportunity to try that. Set very realistic goals. If you're going to tell yourself, my child needs to be toilet trained by the end of the MCO, when your child doesn't even show discomfort when he has soiled his diaper, then maybe that's an unrealistic goal. But, you know, maybe saying things like, okay, my child can't even hold a spoon. What I'm going to try and make sure is that once I've scooped the food, I hold his hand, he can get that food into his mouth and do that every day with him. I think it's also important to try and find me time for parents, all parents actually, but especially with children with special needs. And when I say me time, I don't mean the me time to do housework, the me time to finish off work in my room for my office. I mean me time where you can do something that relaxes you. Whether it's catching half an hour of a sitcom or, you know, doing a workout with a video or something like that, have some me time. I think that's very important.
Okay, we'll come back to this topic, but we have Joseph on the line. Joseph, you have a question?
Hi, I've got a question. My kid's school has virtual classes every day and homework on top of that. It's pretty chaotic, and I don't see the kids being really motivated to learn. And parents have to do so much coaching with a syllabus that, quite frankly, is pretty alien to us. So the question is home learning, especially in terms of following the syllabus, really important during this period? It seems to me that it creates more of a mess than anything else. I guess this is more of an opinion than an actual question, but I'm interested to hear what you think, Doctor.
Thank you very much, Joseph. We sort of lost Dr. Rajani. Is she back on the line to answer the question? Okay, we'll go into a quick song and come back and answer Joseph's question on whether or not how important it is for learning, because we do know that parents have been now given the task of, not just working from home, but having to deal with online classes with the children. With the older ones, yeah, they're very much more independent. But what about with the younger ones? Okay, Dr. Rajani is back, so you can answer that question now. I think Joseph wanted to know, how important is home learning at this point in time?
Yeah, I've heard about preschools having online classes and setting homework and things like that. Now, this is my opinion, I'm very grateful to my daughter's school for having online classes, and I can see they're so interactive and interesting, and they've really made an effort with it. But when it comes to younger children, I've had friends tell me that their child is just looking at the screen for 10 minutes and then running off. For many children, especially if parents have been restricting the use of screens and gadgets, and if children are not used to video calling other people, this is going to be very challenging. And I think as parents, this is your time to discuss this with your preschoolers, because if it's a fun activity where a teacher is reading a story and your child seems interested, yeah, go ahead with it. If your child is walking away, don't feel like you've lost your money's worth and force that child to sit in front of it. I think you have to be flexible about it. I've never been one to advocate that children must write A repeatedly 100 times before they can actually learn to write. I'm always in that belief that children will learn to write when their hands are ready. So maybe if schools are giving you lots of worksheets which involve boring activities like that, this is your time to say, okay, let's find a way of making it more interesting for my child, and giving suggestions to the preschool. Maybe we don't write 100 times, but maybe instead we do some drawing with kids and, some fun activities and worksheets. So I think when it comes to preschoolers, please, I hope the educators think about why they're doing it, why they're having online classes, and how they can make it more fun and interesting for children. Not just doing it because you want to justify parents paying you your monthly fees.
And I think that is a big problem, Dr. Rajini. Maybe you should address parents who feel like that. And sometimes, and I can see more preschools coming up with online work because of that, because parents want a refund that the children are not going to school. Now, the preschools cannot shut down just like that, So what would you say to parents who feel that they are being shortchanged during a time like this?
I think, everybody's going through a tough time economically, financially, etc. And I think we need to look at our own finances and discuss it with individual preschools and say, look, I can't afford to pay you because of this reason. If it means withdrawing your child temporarily or something like that, discuss that with the preschool. But we also have to understand from the preschool's point of view that they still have teachers that they have to pay. They still have commitments in terms of, maybe materials that they've ordered, and they have to pay their suppliers, etc. So there's that economic side of things. But I think, parents of preschoolers, I don't think you should be, think about the activities that the preschools are sending to you, and don't just demand for it because you want to justify that monetary expenditure, because it might not be beneficial to your child at all. For some children, maybe yes, they find what is being offered interesting, and you will be able to tell whether your child benefits from it or not, just from how they interact and respond to, online classes or the activities that are thrown in front of them. So, I would say to parents, look at the quality, not the quantity. Look at maybe suggesting ideas that you feel works for your child, and see whether it can be incorporated as well. And I think this is a good time for us to engage with our children to see what they like, what they don't, how they learn, and what makes learning interesting for them.
So a lot of parents have concerns relating to schooling at home. I mean, I've got a couple of WhatsApp messages on, I have a five-year-old daughter. We set up a routine in the morning when she's got school time, but I don't like that she's, but she doesn't feel like the school time is actually working out, because it ends up being a battlefield instead, trying to get her to do the work. And she's heard that kids are different when they're being taught by their parents. So she's in limbo, as to whether or not she's making for a good educator. But drawing that line between being a parent and an educator are two different things, Dr. Rajini. I mean, trust me, I think we all struggled with it. I remember my husband telling me one day when the kids were really young, I think we just allow the music teacher to do her work. You don't bother her. Because it was ugly for me, it was ugly for the kids, it was ugly for everybody at home. Not all of us make for great educators. What's your advice?
Yeah, I agree. And just because you taught one child and it worked, it doesn't mean that the next child is going to, the same way is going to work for that child, or that child's going to benefit from you being their educator. And this is where, as parents, it shouldn't be a battlefield. We need to make sure that with our very young children, and I don't just mean preschoolers, but even the lower primary kids, learning must not be a chore. We must find ways to develop that interest in wanting to learn in our children. So, you know, I keep going back to the example of writing A 20 times. You know, my eldest daughter never went through that when we were abroad, and she still writes really well. I mean, she only learned to really write alphabets. I mean, she was taught to write her name by the time she was four, but she only learned to write alphabets in a very indirect way. And but she did a lot of drawing. So I think, you know, it's different for different children, and I feel it's very important that parents see that, you know, if their child finds it a chore, that maybe that's not the right approach. It's good to have that routine where you say to your child, okay, now it's, you know, school time, and, you know, it can be a storytelling session, it can be working with puppets, doing a bit of art and craft. For maybe the lower primary kids, you can sort of say, okay, COVID-19, it's all around, right? Everybody's talking about it. Let's find some simple article online about what a virus is, and, you know, using current issues to maybe interest your child in finding out more about it. For example, how many of us remembered that yesterday was, you know, Earth Day, and it was Earth Hour, and, you know, talking about the planet and et cetera. So I think my advice to parents is, don't feel stressed about it. Don't feel like if your child's not going to school, they have stopped learning. Your children are still learning, but they're learning different things. They're learning life skills now. And I think there was a study done in New Zealand. I'm not sure if many of you remember the Christchurch earthquake.
Yes.
And what they found was children didn't go to school for a whole term. And yet their scores were much higher at the end of the academic year compared to previous years. So it's not like they stopped learning altogether. And maybe going back to school eventually, it might spur them on to want to learn more or be more enthusiastic about learning because they've had this break in a way.
I'm just hearing whoever parent was listening right now thinking, I have to manage work as well. Mm. I have to do the housework as well. Mm. How do I keep these children entertained? Do you need to have a schedule, meaning like you have specific timing to spend with the children to do these things? And if when you're not doing it, what are the children supposed to do?
I think this is where we schedules help, especially if you're working from home, so that, you know, you're not just turning on a screen 24/7 for your child. Schedules help your child learn to regulate how they spend their time as well. And I think schedules allow parents to have that me time, that work time, etc. But, you know, I think, look, you know, don't stress about the fact that maybe you're letting your child watch 2 hours of TV or 3 hours of TV instead of the usual 1 hour, because times are different now. And it's about balancing everything without feeling guilty, without getting yourself more stressed, because when you feel guilty, you are more stressed. And, you know, that backfires. You start yelling more. And then that puts more stress on the kids and your husband. And if you're a man, it puts more stress on your wife and other people that you're living with. So let's get things into perspective. Schedules may help you, but have days where you don't have a schedule and it's fun and free, like a Sunday, you know. Let's all sleep in, or let's all just spend a day as a family watching movies.
You know, I've been dying to ask you this question. I mean, every time you come on the show, you're very much against gadgets.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw that question now at you. Yeah. During the MCO, has your stand on gadgets changed, given
you know
the circumstances?
You know what's been happening in our household? I'm going to be very honest. My husband decided to register for the 2 months free trial of Netflix. I never thought I would get Netflix in my home. But what we've done is we've used this time to bond as a family. And, you know, the rest of the family seem to like movies that are a very different genre to me, but they've compromised. And one of the things that we've tried to do is actually sit down together as a family and watch Tamil movies. We, you know, my girls have suddenly decided they want to pick up Tamil. So when... if my husband and I have been at home in the afternoon and, you know, there's no online school and you know, on the weekday, we've actually sat down and watched a three-hour movie. You know how long Tamil movies can be.
Oh, yes.
And I have to say there was one weekend where we watched movies in the afternoon. We watched a movie at night as well. But we've done it as a family. And actually, it's fun when you do it as a family, as opposed to just throwing one child in front of one screen and another child in front of another. It can be bonding time, and you talk about things afterwards, don't you?
But given the time, I mean, it's the easiest thing to do is to give the child a gadget so you can work.
Of course. And, you know, I'm not going to be a holier-than-thou person to say stop doing that, because times are so different, isn't it? Just make sure you have a balance of proper quality time. And when I say proper quality time, it doesn't mean that you sit there with your child reading 10 books to make up for the 3 hours that your child watched a gadget. It can be, come on, let's help mummy mop the floor, and, you know, you get let them do a cursory job and do it again afterwards. It doesn't matter. But that quality time can be things that you do together, which are physical, or you put on a Zumba video and you all do it together as well. So as long as you're balancing that, you know, that screen time where your child's been alone with the screen and quality time that you spend together, I think your kids will be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think planning is important, Dr. Rajni. Yeah. I mean, I think just planning ahead for the day helps as well. Even waking up an hour earlier helps you prepare a little bit better for the rest of the day. So we'll come back after this quick market update and talk about the structure of education and how learning and education is structured in our society, given what we're going through at the moment. Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good morning and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. Dr. Rajni Sarvanandan on the line with us. She's a consultant developmental pediatrician. We are trying to help you power through this pandemic as a parent. We've had some questions come through about being parents, you know, how your challenges of being home with the children, trying to cope with everything. Dr. Rajni has given some pretty good advice, whether or not you have a typically developing child or whether or not you have a child who is not typically developing. Challenges pretty much the same, really, except for with children with special needs. Her advice is, you know, go out. If you have an OKU card, you are allowed to go out with your child with special needs to exercise, because that's key for them at home as well. Set realistic goals. She's already set that when it comes to your child and their development at home. And have a routine. Day-to-day routine is terribly key when you have a child, both who's typically developing and who's not. Let's just talk about the learning and education structure in our society, Dr. Rajni. You know how I'm very hard on, you know, as a parent myself, I've made a lot of mistakes in the past, but do you not think that this tells you that you've not really been involved enough in your child's learning experience?
Yeah, I think if parents are starting to feel a bit, you know, stressed by having to do a lot with their children. Imagine that this is what the teachers have been doing with your child when you've been at work. And I hope, you know, we appreciate that. I mean, I certainly am so grateful to my children's school. And, you know, I'm just going to do a shout out to the teachers at Champaka Damansara, because I sometimes watch from a distance or listen in on their online schooling, and I realize, gosh, you know, they really do know how to adapt lessons and make things so much more interesting. I mean, dealing with a bunch of teenagers who are constantly interrupting you, asking you questions that might not even be related to the topic of discussion, you know, and gosh, I would have lost it, you know, even though it's only 40 minutes. But I think, you know, parents this is your time to sort of look at how teachers do things, and also to appreciate the fact that we should be grateful. I mean, I think another aspect that I know a lot of parents are anxious that their kids are not going to be sitting for exams and they won't know how their child fares. I think this is a good chance for parents to track their child's learning when there haven't been exams, to sort of grade your child per se. And you know, abolishing exams like UPSR, which I think is great, maybe will also give teachers a chance to think about more about, you know, how we're going to assess our children in future on a day-to-day basis rather than waiting for one final exam which, you know, decides their next step in their future, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, it also sort of throws a spanner in the works when it comes to what learning really means, isn't it? I mean, given the situation, we don't know. We don't know so many things. You can possibly be the brightest person in the world. We have no idea where this is all going to go. We didn't know this virus was going to come and bite us in the back. What's going to take us through is really resilience, and that's not something they teach you in school. No. So I think this is a great learning experience as well, for you to reflect as a parent and understand what learning really is.
Yeah, and also what learning means to your child, not so much about content of a syllabus or what their final grade is, but how they learn as well. And you know, and maybe that gives you a little bit more understanding about why they get the grades that they do, or, you know, why they like certain subjects or not, and finding ways to maybe help them learn as well, because for a lot of our children, you know, they get thrown materials at them. A textbook's given, you have these facts that you have to learn, but sometimes it's difficult for them in terms of application. And if you have the time, it's time to sit down and say, okay, you've learned about viruses, how does it reflect in terms of what's happening in today's world? You know, you've learned about why you need to wash your hands, and, you know, why do we have to keep washing our hands very frequently, etc. So, you know, I think it's a good chance for parents to help their children understand what's going on around them by relating it to what they've learned.
And hey, come up with a vaccine if you can. We need it. We need it badly. Everybody has to try and come up with a vaccine. just to go back to children with special needs, Dr. Rajani, who require therapy. How do the parents plan for this, and how do they cope with this in the long term if they choose not to come for therapy now?
Yeah, so a lot of therapy centres are not allowed to open. The ones that are in hospitals, the individual therapy sessions, are allowed to carry on. But to be honest, many parents are a bit fearful, I think, of travelling to hospitals. My advice to parents is, I know many therapy centres always have sort of reports or plans that they've set out, goals that they've set out, and this is the time to reach out to your therapist if you don't have anything written, to sort of say, look, can you help me as to what I can do with my child at home based on what you know of my child? That's one. I mean, I hope therapists have been doing that with parents during each therapy session anyway. But with some parents, I know they feel lost. They're okay meeting the therapist or going for therapy once a week and getting a list of things that they need to do for the next 1 week. But it's now been a month, and it's probably, you know, going to be some time before children can go back to therapy. This is your time to reach out to your therapist and talk to them and see what you can do. It's not the end of the world. There are many families who don't have access to frequent therapy sessions, so, and they still are able to do it. Where we are here, we have families who come even from overseas or across the way from Sabah and Sarawak and Brunei, where we only get to see them, the therapists only get to see them once in 3 months. But we see progress in children, not because of the therapy, but actually because the parents have been carrying out therapy at home and applying that therapy at home. And I think parents don't feel like, you know, many parents come and say to me, oh, my child's regressed. But actually, it's not a regression. They're just going through the same stress as you, and so their behavior may be different. And they, you know, communicating it through their behavior, their displeasure or their stress or their frustrations. But if you look at what skills your children are doing, many of them have not lost skills. They just need more practice to remind them what to do. So I think it's a good time for parents to also understand their children and also work towards building their life skills, because that's the basis of learning. If you can read and write, but you still haven't mastered the basics of toileting, then your child's not going to go far. And this is the time to focus on the toileting and not the reading and writing.
You know, Dr. Rajini, given the family unit at the moment and what everyone's going through, as you said, you know, there's a certain amount of stress and anxiety on the parents' part, on the children as well. And then, you know, given the environment at home, if it's a pleasant one, you know, fine. If it's managed well, mm-hmm. children are fine. But if it is not managed well at this stage, will children's emotional well-being be affected in the longer term when we come out of this?
Definitely. And you know, I know of many families who've sort of reached out to me and said, you know, I don't know how to manage his behavior. I'm hitting him and things like that. And you know, the first thing I would say to a parent, if that's happening, is to say, look, stop what you're trying to do. Start looking at what your child's abilities are and set your expectations based on those abilities, not what you want your child to do. That's the first thing. Number two, if you're hitting your child, you are obviously under stress yourself. And, you know, the fact that you're telling me that you're hitting a child, I know you means that you feel guilty. So why don't we look at your stress levels and whether you are managing yourself well? Forget about teaching. Forget about learning new skills. Let's talk about everybody's mental health and well-being being addressed first so that you don't do more harm. And I do worry about some families where I know that, you know, there is domestic abuse, child abuse going on within the homes. And I do worry that these families are not going to come out of this very well. Unfortunately, they are the families who are not reaching out to us. And that's my concern.
We have a last question here on how to get back to routine.
Hi, any advice on how to help the kids adjust back to the school routine once the MCO is lifted? Thank you.
Dr. Rajini?
I think, you know, first of all, we don't know when this is going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen next week, that's for sure. And I think it needs a little bit of adjustment for everyone. I would always say that if you have children who are very stuck on routines and work well with routines, if you know the routine is going to change, that you start to make changes before they go back to school. For example, waking up and bedtimes. I know a lot of families have moved their bedtimes later and later. You know, first thing is to get sleep patterns back to what they were to suit going back to school. Number two is to talk to your child and explain to your child as well about the fact that routine is going to change, and maybe put it down visually. And for children with special needs, using visual means helps. Through pictures, visualizing their new timetables, reminding them who they're going to see again. So if you have pictures of their friends, if you have pictures of their teachers, showing them these. So I think that's very important as well.
Would you have a message for us?
Hang in there, everybody. We're all in this together. Don't feel guilty that you are not, that you are not ensuring that your child continues to learn, because children learn new things, focus on life skills, enjoy this family time together, and, you know, use it to do activities together. And for, you know, mothers and fathers, you know, share responsibilities. And don't forget, your children, no matter how young, can share in some of those little responsibilities as well. Yeah. And, you know, stay safe, everybody.
You know, I'm going to play that, how you said, enjoy the family time together. And I'm going to play it in a loop every time we feel we're going to lose it. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, speaking to us about how to parent in a pandemic on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.